So it's a bad snowstorm. My daughter just came home and I panicked the whole time. So I'm glad you came home before this started because I would have been in two places at one time.
Yeah, glad
Got
she's
it.
home safe.
I get it. How old is she?
18. Yeah, the lovely age.
Was she driving in the snow?
She did, and she did a good job because my car is back okay.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's like one level of nerve-wracking to have teenagers driving and then another level to have them driving in the snow.
Yes, right. And it's not just, small, it's not a little storm. It's kind of like, it's like 8 inches. Not
Oh my
right
God.
now, but we're supposed to get that. So it started earlier today, and I'm just looking out the window like I should have drove, but I didn't know what time she was going to be done, and I didn't want to miss any of this. So, but she's
Thanks
back,
for being
so we're
here.
good. Yes.
Yay. Awesome.
Anytime. Thank you
I
for the
love that you
invitation.
get the holiday, like Christmas snow, holiday weather.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, Aliana. Welcome.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
Good, how
How
are
you
you?
doing?
Good. I am in Florida right now visiting family.
Nice.
Yeah. So Lowen's with my mama, thank God. So I get a little break.
Awesome. Oh, yay. Thanks so much for joining while you're away with family. And Aliana, meet Matt. Matt, meet Aliana.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Beautiful name.
Thank you.
Where's it come from? What's your background?
I am Dominican.
I love
Yeah.
that.
Thank you.
Oh, they came on at the same time.
Yeah.
Awesome. Hi, Ash.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Hello.
Hi, Herky. Yay!
Hi.
Awesome. Ashley, Herky, meet Matt, and Matt, meet Ashley and Herky.
Hi, Matt. Hi, Matt. Nice to meet you.
Hello, ladies. Great to meet you. Where are you guys right now in the world?
I'm
I'm
in the
in
middle
Los
of a storm
Angeles.
in Pennsylvania.
Wait, I heard LA. And a storm is what I heard.
Yep, in Pennsylvania.
In PA.
Yeah.
East or west?
East.
Got it. Got it. Wonderful to meet you.
Yay. Where are you, Matt? You're on the East Coast, right?
Yeah, I'm in New Jersey. I'm just
I
south of
noticed.
New York a little bit. Yeah. And I don't have this Zoom thing figured out, like which one I like. When it becomes more than like three people, I put it on the Hollywood Squares thing, and my eyes just go all over here, and it's really annoying to me. So,
I
but
do Hollywood Squares usually.
yeah.
Try to keep track of everybody. Cool. Well, welcome, ladies. Thanks so much for being here during this busy holiday season. I know that everybody's got a lot going on right now. And Matt, of course, thank you so much for making the time to host and facilitate my lovely group. So I'm going to just do a quick intro. Ladies, I've mentioned to you before, and I'll just kind of reiterate, Matt is an amazing human being. So incredible. Met him at the Rich Lippmann Intensive in April, and he was the facilitator of our small group, our breakout group. And then we, as a group, continued to do monthly masterminds outside of the RLI or the intensive. And we all started to take turns kind of hosting that group. So we got to know each other a little bit better. And then he has been an incredible support for me in the past several months, as you ladies know, as I'm expanding what's possible for me as a coach and me as a business and LFP as a brand and everything that we're all up to here. So he's been just incredibly supportive and insightful and helpful along the journey. And I'm so honored to have you here with us, Matt. And yeah, with no further ado, I'm just gonna step back. Matt's gonna guide us, and I did give everyone kind of a forewarning that we might get into the stretch zone tonight. So, but it'll be fun and it'll be really meaningful. So, all right, take it from here, Matt.
I appreciate the nice intro. Hopefully you'll say similar things after.
True.
So Fawn and I were on the phone maybe 2 months ago, and we were just really talking deeply around serving and stretching and kind of really raising the level. And I don't know exactly what I said to her, but it was something around, do you have a community or, you know, people that you're training that was really kind of coming up? How can I help support your effort in kind of raising their level? And came up with an idea, a couple exercises that I've done before, and I'm gonna bring them in, and we'll see where they go. Let's do this first. So this is very much a embodied exercise. So just take some deep breaths and really kind of get present with how you are in your body, because that's gonna be critical as we go through this whole time. My part, it might last 30 minutes, it might last an hour and 30, we'll see where we go. Kind of depends on you guys. But I want you to take some deep breaths, whether you need to close your eyes or not, and really kind of feel into your body. How are you feeling? What is kind of in your body right now? And come into the present and really center there. And we're going to use the chat. So I'm going to ask that you guys bring that up. And if anybody needs help figuring out where that is, let me know. But we're going to use the chat. And what I want to know from you guys, and I'd love to have you guys throw it in the chat, is what do you stand for in one word? If you had to summarize, what do you stand for? Put that in the chat, please. As you guys are typing, I've got two young ones that are probably getting ready for bed, so it might sound like there's a circus in the other room, and there is, but as long as there's no screaming, bloody murder, then we're good. So what do you stand for? Put that in the chat, please. Think about yourself as a human being, as a coach, as a person just walking the planet throughout society. I love that. Kindness, inspiration, love. Beautiful. And now I want you to focus on your body. What's present in your body right now? In one word, what would summarize what you're feeling in your body? Put that in the chat when you... Gorgeous. And so those two things are going to be really, really important as we go through these exercises. I want you to continue to come back to them. Both, what do you stand for? And what is present in my body? And really kind of keep those in your sights and in your field. How many people are committed to serving? And that's why you are here. That's why you're studying. It's why you're kind of creating. By show of hands, how many? Yeah? Good. So what tonight is all about is really that. And really trying to kind of get out of the way some things that maybe affect how willing you are to serve, the stories that you're willing to that are blocking you from really serving, the limitations that you hold around yourself. And that's what tonight's all about, is how can I get you guys to commit to serving your clients above all else, no matter what. And so we're going to push some edges there, and we're going to test it a little bit. and here's how I like to frame it for my people. What I like to say is, if you were going up in front of a parole board and the only way you got out of jail was if you served that parole board so powerfully that they wanted to hire you as a coach, would you get out? How would you do it? And that level of commitment to service above getting them to like you, because those are very different things. The parole board won't let you out of jail if they like you. You only get out of jail if they are willing to hire you. So that's how I want you to kind of think about this. So the best way, because I don't know you, the best way for me to create a safe space for us is I'm going to put some agreements in the room. And these agreements are basically going to create the container on how we're going to play. If anybody doesn't agree to these things, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and let's just talk about it. Okay. The first thing I'm going to ask us all to agree to is that we're all committed to serving above all else. We're not here to be friends. We're here to be much more than that. Can everybody agree to that? Raise your hand if you're good with that. Cool? Great. Next agreement I have is that none of us have anything to prove. We already belong in this room. There's no we are all equals. There's no teachers. There's no students. We're all here to learn and grow. These exercises are just simply designed to push our edges and explore. Everybody good with that? Good. You already belong here. Next one. I agree that I and everybody in this circle is a whole and complete human being, strong enough to navigate what is true and what is not true for them. And if you need any clarity, is everybody good with that? If any of these doesn't make sense, please ask questions. Take yourself off mute. Stop me. Everybody good with that?
Matt, can you speak a little bit more to the whole and complete human being?
Sure. So one thing that comes up often with a lot of people, I don't want to just say new coaches, with a lot of people is that we think people can't handle something. We think people are damaged. We think people are broken or weak. And so we coddle them. We kind of really want to help them get up. It's part of our support, is part of what we do. But the problem when we look at somebody as anything but whole and complete is that we don't actually serve them, we weaken them. And only when we actually call them to step into their wholeness and their completeness do we really serve them. And it doesn't mean being nasty. It means being respectful. It means seeing them for as powerful as they are, even if they don't see it. On the other side, we are whole and complete. And the more we can see ourselves that way, the less we will have any needs of any other person. The less we will worry about what anyone else thinks. It actually goes into my next one. So let me read my next one. And then if there's any questions, I'll go deeper into that phone. Cool? I am solely responsible for my own feelings and my own experience. And I'm going to fire myself from being responsible for anybody else's feelings or anybody else's experience. Because doing so, thinking that I influence someone else's experience and feelings, actually diminishes the power of that individual. Does everybody agree to that? And does anybody have any questions or like some further context around that? Hands up, good. Everyone is agreeing to fire themselves from being responsible for what anyone feels in this room. We're good with that? Awesome. Kim, try that with, I can't remember if it was your daughter or son. Make sure you fire yourself from your, because that's the truth. We get so worried that, oh, I am making this person feel this way. No, you're not. What's making that person feel this way is their own stories, their own experiences. They got work to do. And tonight is all designed around identifying where we got some work to do. So you're responsible for your feelings. You're powerful, whole, complete, perfect human beings that can navigate truth from untruth. Anybody have any problems with any of those agreements I put in? No? Okay. Good. So that's how we're going to play. Kim, were you going to say something? Tim's like, I'm not caring about my child's feelings anymore. I am saying what I need to say. They're going to like it. Beautiful. All right. So one of our agreements was there's no teachers. There's no students. Yes, I am probably going to do more talking than most, but it doesn't mean you can't stop me. Ask me a question. Say no. Change the direction. Anything. Okay. So, what I want you to do is I want you to think about one of the most honest and authentic people you know of. You don't need to know them personally, but who do you really, really respect for their honesty and their authenticity? You don't have to agree with them, but man, they shoot it straight. Just curious. Come up with a name and throw it in the chat. We use that a lot. Curious. Who do you really honor and respect because they're just so damn honest and authentic, consistent? Good old Mandy and Melissa, love that. This might be the first group ever that all named people they know. That's wild. Most people are like Oprah or, you know, say things like that. So that's awesome that you have those people in your world. I love that. I just had a conversation about Jen actually today with someone else. That's funny you put her in. What do you think makes them this way? What do you think makes them so committed to being honest and authentic and consistent with it? Curious. Throw that in the chat. Gorgeous. Gorgeous. All right, so here's my challenge for you guys. What would it take for the most honest and authentic person you know to be you? What would that require? Throw that in the chat when something comes up.
Question one.
Sorry, say that again.
Can you repeat the question one more time?
Sure. What would it take for you to be the most honest and authentic person that you know? What if the next time I asked you, if I saw you in a couple months, I asked the same question, you said me? What shift would you have to make? What would that take? What would that require? Ash, nice. Okay, good. That's where I want you to play with. Okay? I want you to show up tonight with a renewed commitment to honesty, to authenticity, to living in alignment with your light, to shedding your layers, to not caring about other people's feelings. Kim, you got nothing to worry about because you've already been fired from that role. So you are unemployed about worrying about other people's feelings. So you're there. Okay? So you're good. But that's where I want you to come from. That's what all tonight is about. Good? Questions? Tell me what's going on in your body in one word right now. What are you guys feeling right now before we go into our first exercise? Good. This is great. It's kind of like that eighth grade dance where the boys are on one side of the room and the girls are in the other. I've got the calm group over here and I got the anxious group over here. Perfect. And then Herky's right in the middle saying, I don't know what the fuck is going on. Cool. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to warm up. We're going to do an exercise around observation. What we're going to do is we're going to pair up since it's a small group. And what we're going to do is we're going to observe each other for 3 minutes. And one person is going to just look at another person and is going to describe everything they see like they're staring at a piece of art. It's not a person with emotions. It's not a person with feelings or thinking or anything. It's like a piece of art. Like you would stare at a picture. What do I see? And the other person that is getting observed is going, their job is to sit there expressionless, like a piece of art. And the only thing that the person that is being observed is to pay attention to is what comes up when people say things, when people observe things. What shows up in your body? What shows up in your mind? What are stories you tell yourself? And what this exercise is all about is to expose areas where you can be manipulated. And so let's take this for example. Fawn, you want to play? Awesome. All right, so I'll model it for you. So Fawn, I want you to be completely expressionless. Okay? And I'm just observing Fawn's face. Your pupils are huge. And your left one looks bigger than your right. I can't tell if you have a pimple under your nose or if it's something on my screen. Your lips are uneven. The top one is much smaller than the bottom. Your right eyebrow is slightly higher than the left. And your makeup on your right eye, on the top, seems much darker than the left. All right, well, you failed expressionless. You would drop into the water pit. So that was an example of just observing. Here's the exercise for you, Fawn, though, and for everybody that gets observed. Was there anything I said that triggered anything? Where anything triggered anything?
Kind of the whole thing, like
okay.
Observed like that.
Okay. Wherever you're triggered, you can be manipulated. And what I mean by that is, if somebody calls you out on that, you might go inside and start to shrink and step out of your power and out of your light. That we all have things like that. And the goal is to be able to identify those and be okay with those and accept of those. So the exercise for the being observed is, where am I getting triggered? And what if I was okay, got okay with one eyebrow being longer than the other? What if that didn't fucking matter? Mm-hmm. And really pay attention to what comes up, because none of it does matter. If you're really talking about serving from the soul, you're serving the soul of the being. So if you have stuff in your teeth, if your hair is a mess, if you were born with two different color eyes, who cares? And a lot of times, those are things we don't want people to see. And if they call them out, they completely take power from us. And we... So that's what this is about. The observer, the person speaking, do you have the honesty to say what you really see? If I took a ruler, Fawn's eyebrows are probably a millimeter difference in size. They may be the same exact size. Who knows? My observation is they're not. I'm not concerned about what she thinks. I'm just observing what I see. She's whole and complete and perfect enough to navigate what's true or not. Her lips might be the same top and bottom size. They may not. I'm observing. And that's the goal of coaching. This is what I see. This is what I'm picking up on. It doesn't have to be true. What does that stir up in you? So that's kind of the warm-up. Does that – questions? Let me ask. Any – Herky, yeah.
I found that judgment, not observation.
I'm sorry. I didn't quite hear you.
I found that judgment, not observation.
Say more. Okay. Judgment. Say more around one particular thing or the whole exercise?
Whole exercise. I mean, I see the point you're trying to make, but I don't know. Just what came to me.
No, it's fine. My definition of judgment doesn't have to be yours, is if there's an opinion around it. If I said, I think you're eyebrows are different sizes and that makes you weird, or you're less of a woman or a coach, or you're smart, or you're, if I was to think that that means something, that's how I define it. And it doesn't have to be your definition. Does that, and I appreciate you putting it in a room. Neither of us, there's no right and wrong. And that is part of the exercise, is to bring in no, it doesn't mean anything. It's just exploring. This is what I see. Because coaching, a lot of coaching will be, I'm sensing emotion. I'm sensing anger. I'm sensing, and just trying, you might get it right. You might get it wrong. Any other questions? Any other? Herky, go ahead, please.
And again, I don't know if it's too early into asking this, but
never.
A client can shut down if I go into, I mean, I definitely can call out what I'm observing, but sometimes a person can shut down instead of if I go into, if I haven't provided enough space, if they perceive it, maybe I'm observing, but they may have perceived it that way. So, or maybe with female features, it's like big, so maybe I'm interpreting it as that way, and you know, how it's a big deal if you tell a woman or whatever you said.
So here's what's interesting. So let me play with that. And again, I am not attached to being right or wrong, but I'm going to play with that a little bit here. It's interesting that you brought in gender, because the human soul doesn't have a gender. It's just, you know, soul. And so I'm wondering, how does that limit your ability to serve women? And if somebody shuts down, it means they're triggered. That's exactly where you want to go. What's making you shut down right now? And then you want to dig right there. That's your goal, is to find the triggers. Because once they understand those and unlock those and realize that they're perfect from the inside out, they'll be able to step in the world much stronger. So that's what you're going for. You want them to get stirred up. And my experience is that anytime you play it safe and try to navigate your stir, you're actually not serving them. And that's how most of the people that they interact with them. And they're paying you to just be honest with what you see. Doesn't have to be true. Doesn't have to come with any judgment. Your job is to tell them what you see and still hold them as perfect, whole, complete, beautiful human beings. That's how I look at my practice. It doesn't have to be how you look at yours. I'm just giving you a frame to look at it. What comes up when I say that?
I feel like I also look at another being as much as is humanly possible for me. Yes, I do see the other as whole. I do see myself as a whole, but I do also recognize that I can have maximum, I'm a little, I have a spiritual woo-woo bent of mind. So I usually, before a session, I try to pause and meditate that my ego doesn't come in between me and the client and I can serve. But I also know that it can. So I also am aware of the human frailty, you know, and I'm not going to... when you were telling that to Fawn, I don't want to be... I was triggered.
Good.
Maybe because I'm fond of Fawn and I didn't like you talking to her like that. I don't know. Maybe that was the attachment there.
No, that's awesome. Great.
And also there was another element wherein I have lived in a culture that's very patriarchal, male-dominated, and when a man puts down a woman, it triggered that too in me.
I have goosebumps right now. Perfect. So how does that influence your coaching? Strengthen your coaching, weaken your coaching, prevent your coaching, you know, raise your level to coaching?
For me, because I could see it triggered, I would take a little pause and check in with myself so that I don't bring my stuff into the coaching.
Totally. Love that. And some ideas could be, if you're coaching a woman, I have goosebumps. I mainly coach women because of this, because it breaks my heart when they're not stepping in their power. But you might be coaching a woman and be really pushing her to step into who you are. And you might be pushing too hard. Like you might be missing stuff. You might need to slow down. So that could be one way if you bring your stuff in. A man might come to you and you may bring your stuff in where you want, ideally, teach him how to step into his power without stepping on anybody, right? And without lessening anyone. And so, and that's what this is all about, is looking at where your baggage will prevent you from being as powerful of a coach as you're capable of.
Interesting.
Yeah. And, this may be one of the most uncomfortable sessions you guys have. That's one of my goals. So I love that it's uncomfortable. I love that you don't agree with everything. That's why one of the agreements is you are capable of knowing what's true and not true for you. You don't have to leave agreeing with everything I say. It's not my goal. It's not my goal at all. It's to trigger you. Anything else come up? Questions? Great, let's play a little bit. Who wants to play? Fawn and Kim, beautiful. Kim, I want you to observe Fawn. And again, I'm going to set a timer for like 2.5 minutes. I just want you to say what you see, like a piece of art, okay? Doesn't have to be true for her. She's a whole, complete being. Just tell her what you see, okay? You're on mute. And Fawn, expressionless, if you can. You're up. Go ahead.
Okay. Your hair on my left, which I guess would be your right, seems darker than your hair that's flipped over your shoulder. Your left eye is slightly smaller your chest looks burned. And I can see your straps on both sides. You were about to laugh, so that. Your part is slightly off center, but it doesn't really look like a side part. I don't know, your nose is pointy. I don't know what else to say besides the things he already said. I'm trying to pick out different things. Your you look like you have a gray piece of hair on the left side, or slightly lighter than all the other pieces.
All right, so let's pause there.
Okay.
How was that experience for you, Kim?
Horrible.
Why?
Because I still care about what other people think, or I'm trying to fire myself. I'm going to fire myself a couple of times tonight, I'm sure. Yeah.
So really, okay. And how does that limit your ability to serve? So you're a liar as well.
Oh, ugh.
Here's the lie. Here's the lie you told me. You told me you were committed to serving above all else.
Yeah, I guess so.
And I'm going to invite you to continue to remind yourself of that, even if you have to say it out loud. Fawn, my job is to serve you above all else. So I'm going to tell you what I see. That'll help get that muscle going. It could help get that muscle going.
Yeah, and that's crazy because that's not the first time I've actually heard that from people who are bluntly or boldly honest in my life, you know, have brought that up before, that if I'm not that honest, then I'm not telling them the truth, or that, you know, I know you're just going to be nice, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I could see that.
And do you want to be nice or do you want to be trusted?
I want to be trusted, yeah.
Okay. When I was in corporate and I managed people, what allowed me to always have difficult situations, I looked at my job as to make them better. That was my only job. And so that's what freed me. It was almost like I was putting the mile marker out there and then I had to walk to it saying, so I always say, my job is to make you better. So I'm not going to answer that question. Or my job is going to make you better. So I'm going to tell you right now, you're showing up as a victim and you're better than this. And it freed me to kind of say what I need to say to make them better versus having this mental thing, can they handle it, yada, yada. No, I was putting it out there. So you may want to just put it out there to remind you until the muscle gets stronger. And just play with it. Just play with it. Fawn, what was that like for you?
It was fine. It was very different than when you did it, though.
Say more.
So I was able to identify what it was that kind of made the whole first experience triggery.
Which was what?
The experience of being, like, seen by men. Mm. And like feeling very defensive about it.
Awesome. It's almost like the situation where it's done in movies where a man or a woman, they end a relationship. and they go on their first date after a relationship ends, and they kind of, first thing out of their mouth is, I got two kids, I drive a Ford, I make 50 grand, I live in a trailer, there. If you're still there, we can have dinner. And that's kind of what this exercise is about. I want you to get okay with all the shit that gets in the way, but that doesn't matter. And then coach your ass off. And then show up and serve the heck out of people so they can serve into their power, step into their power, excuse me. Because none of it matters. And so this is an art of saying, where are you manipulated? Where can you be manipulated? And it's, oh, I hope they don't see this stuff. So that's kind of what this exercise is. Because you know that that man or woman, they walk in there and be like, here's what I got. Do you love me? You know that they're powerful. And so that's where I want to get you. Who wants to play next? Who doesn't want to play? Who's like, please, let's just move on. Ashley, awesome. And I'm going to butcher your name.
Eliana.
I knew it was beautiful, and I knew it would
butcher. Thank you.
Great. Ashley, why don't you be the observer? Are you up for that?
Great. Okay. Yep, I am.
Great. We're going to go 2 minutes. Go ahead.
All right. I'm always trying to change the view so I can see Aliana better, but that didn't work. Aliana, I'm going to use this. My job is to serve you above all else, so I'm going to tell you what I see. I see a round nose, but I need to make my screen bigger. I see messy hair that's in a bun. I see looks like your left eyebrow is uneven. It's not even with the other eyebrow. Same goes for your left eye, or it would be your right eye, but on my screen it's your left. Looks bigger than.
Can I pause you for a second?
Yep.
I'm gonna invite you to do it like you're curious about it. Oh, that's interesting. If at all. And do it, you're using so many words where it's actually diminishing what you're saying. It's your left eye, and I guess it's my right eye on the screen and this and that, and it's taking away from what you're actually saying. So say it to her.
Right.
And because at the end of the day, your job as a coach is to be curious. And so your right eye looks smaller than the left or whatever you said. Your nose looks perfect. It's about curiosity, but say what you're going to say and don't let kind of your discomfort insert words that are unnecessary. Go ahead.
Thanks. You have frown lines on both sides of your face underneath your nose, Your top lip is thinner than your bottom lip. Your face is oval and long. The headphones are a bit distracting.
Let's pause for a second. How'd that one feel?
The shirt is wrinkled. And it looks like the neck is a little stretched out.
All right, good. So, Ash, how was that? Ashley.
Your right eye is smaller and maybe a little squinched right now. Unless you're frozen on my screen.
Ash, can you rest?
Oh.
Ash, you good?
Now I can. Oh, sorry. I was talking. Did y'all not hear me?
We heard you. You were going. It was great.
I can hear you.
Can you hear me? Can you hear us?
Yes. Now I can.
Awesome.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yep. How was that for you?
That's weird. I don't know if you guys can hear me.
We can. We got you.
Okay. It's weird. I know I'm holding back some. I don't like it.
Why are you holding back? You're going in and out. Why are you holding back? Okay, turn off your screen.
Because I want to be nice.
Got it. Okay. And own that. Go ahead.
Yeah, because I want to be. What did you say?
No.
It's so hard to.
Go ahead. We can hear you.
Okay. I'm just trying to turn as much off on my computer as possible. It's just it's harder than I thought it would be, and I don't want to offend anybody.
Got it. I want to remind everybody that what I say doesn't have to be true for you. Ash, do you want to be a coach? Did I lose her?
Yes, I do.
Okay. My experience is nobody will hire you to be nice. They've got plenty of other people to fill that role. They're not hiring you to be nice. They're not hiring you to be mean either. I want to be really clear about that because sometimes people associate truth with mean. They're hiring you to say the things that people won't say, to explore things that people won't explore, and to just put things in the arena for them to play with or kind of get curious about that no way else. And the real gold is being able to observe, and if we had multiple sessions together, we'd really get into this, but the real gold is being able to observe in a way that the other person really feels accepted, perfect, loved, even as you get curious. Your eyebrows are different lengths. And for them not to lose anything, but actually help them accept, that's really your goal, is to help them see that they're perfect, regardless what's going on, what they, all that. So does that land? Does that make sense? And Ash, I'm going to.
Yeah, no.
Good. Okay. Go ahead. Does that land?
It totally does. I feel like it's different when it's people that you know, but I need to.
Well, you're going to get to know your clients, say that. And the only other observation I want to say is that I noticed that when you said something around, when you kind of raised the negativity, I don't know, you said something about our headphones and you rushed right through it. Headphones are distracting. And it was, you picked up the pace, kind of like, let me get this out and get on to the next one. And they're little things, but if I was working with you, I would right there stop you and be like, hold on, what just happened right there? Why are you uncomfortable talking about our headphones? Because you talked about our nose totally slower. So what just happened? And so that's where I would dig. Just an observation. Aliana, how was that for you?
That was interesting. Believe it or not, I felt more triggered when you were doing your exercise on Fawn. Like, I guess since I know Ashley and I know that she, like, this is, like, out of our element, I, like, honestly, I was dying to crack up. But, yeah, it's a different, it's something different I've never experienced, especially coming from, like, my upbringing where we were taught to be nice to everyone and have a filter and, you know, so, yeah.
Okay. I also don't want to discredit, if you weren't triggered by some of the things she was saying, don't try to make it into, like, it's an, it should be an issue for you. What I'm guessing is you don't think your headphones are distracting. You love your headphones. I don't remember exactly what I think. She said something about your nose. You got no issues with your nose. Yeah. My nose is great. And so
when I was younger, I did, but not anymore. Now I don't give a crap.
Yeah. No, seriously. And that, if you're not triggered, then you can't be manipulated there. So, I mean, it's beautiful. So this is an exercise where you have to be. I mean, I love that you weren't triggered.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's because I know Ashley. Now, like, since I don't know you, I would have been like, what the fuck? Like, you know, like, you know what I mean? Since we don't really have that rapport, I just probably would have been like, okay, you got to slow your tracks. And
all right, so awesome. So that's where you would dig in to be like, all right, if somebody that I don't know is saying something to me and trigger, why are you getting triggered? And how much more powerful would you be if you could be like, I don't give a fuck what you say. I'm good with everything.
Yeah.
That's mastery.
Okay.
And I want to make something crystal clear. There's things about me that can be triggered too. It's not like, you know, I'm a Buddha that can, right? So like, no, but it's work every day. But that's what I want to bring in. Awesome. Herky Fawn, are you game to play?
Yep.
Herky, are you game to play?
50-50.
Awesome. Do you want to observe or be observed? Herky.
Yeah. Be observed, but since I'm not fully on board, I feel like I'm not going to be authentic. I don't know if I have to play it, but.
Okay. So let me pause you right there. What if you only did things that you were all in on and you just own where you were at?
Yeah.
Because right now you're trying to please me.
That's why I want to bring it up.
Yep. And I'll remind you that you've been relieved and fired from caring about my feelings. So what if you owned what was true for you?
Yeah.
What is true for you in this moment? Do you want to play?
No.
Great. Own it. Own it. I respect you so much more now that you owned it. And your clients will respect you so much more as well. Gorgeous. You've never been more perfect. Well done. Fawn, you want to play? Great. Yep. Pick somebody to observe.
Pick someone for me.
No. Two minutes, go.
Your hair is wild on the right and seems to calm down on the left and has some asymmetry going on. I'm noticing there's a glow on your forehead and your cheeks and your nose from the reflection, I think, of the screen. Your nose is shiny on the tip. I can see your bottom lip has more color variety than your upper lip. It's hard to make out the expression on your face.
Good, let's pause there. How was that for you, Fawn?
Slowed me down. It was kind of cool.
What was interesting was you're the first person to actually get curious about something but not really know what it was. Kind of like, I can't make out this, or you said something at the end there. And it's all about the curiosity. Kim, what was it like for you?
Well, I was going to laugh at one point, probably at the very beginning. But it was a little unnerving because I didn't know what she was going to say. Mm. And so, but at the same time, I don't know. I guess I was wondering a little bit about what she saw in that, I guess. You know, I was kind of like, well, what does she see? Or so it was kind of like that experience.
Okay. Fawn, were you going to say something? No. Mm-hmm. So, and again, this is all about just kind of freeing to not care and relieve yourself from and teaching yourself and your clients that they're in charge of what they let in, what they don't, what's true for them or what. I mean, it is 100% true that I have a chicken pox scar right in the middle. When I was a kid, it mortified me. Now, whatever. It's true. It doesn't affect my ability to love, to serve, to be a human being. None of it. So that's where we're going. And this was the warm-up. Fawn didn't even know this one. This isn't where we're going. How are you guys in your body? Give me one word. Don't please me. Just. What's in your body right now? Reconnect with what's really true for you in this moment in your body.
Still some anxiety, but kind of relief. So I think both.
Good. Everyone else, put that in the chat. Good. What else is in your body? One word. Herky, I'd love to know. Ashley. Great. All right, so everyone take a deep breath. We got one more exercise, and I'm going to ask you to reconnect with what you stand for, reconnect with service, reconnect that we're all whole and complete, and you can't hurt our feelings or break us or anything like that. We would choose to be broken by your words. It's not, you don't have that ability. And now we're going to serve the woman that has served you. And this is all about Fawn. So let me check in with her. Fawn, how are you doing right now? How are you in your body?
A lot of energy going on right around here.
Okay. You up for playing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A couple things. Make sure you keep breathing. And I want to make sure that you just stay observing you. Okay, and really stay connected to you, what's going on with you. And everybody else, that's your job as well. I'm going to invite you to serve Fawn. I'm going to ask you very specific questions and invite you to serve her. And I want you to pay attention to what your experience is like, where you're triggered, what emotions are coming up, what's going on in your body. Not in your head, your body. Really feel, okay? Here's what we're going to do. Just because I don't want you influencing each other, I've seen it done. I'm going to give you a question. And you are going to type it in the chat, and you're all going to press enter at the same time. Because sometimes when we ask edgy questions, people are like, oh, I'm going to wait for someone else to put something in chat, and then I'll know how edgy to go. And that's not what we're going to do. We're going to be truthful and go from there. So we're going to serve Fawn. She has served you, is my understanding. And I want you to serve her. And I want you to serve her in a way that is out of love and for her improvement. I want you to imagine her in jail, where she needs to get so good at serving others that she can get paroled. You're here to make her better. That's it. That's your only job right now, is to make her better. So the next group of powerful people that she's serving, she is better. That's it. She's a whole and complete, perfect human being that can navigate what's true and not for her. Good? So I'm going to ask you guys some questions. I'm going to ask that you type them in chat, and I'll just say press enter. We'll go. Fawn, yeah. Question.
I was just giving my thumbs up.
Awesome. Okay. And Fawn, your only thing is the only response that you're permitted is thank you. So first question to serve her. What I don't understand about Fawn is. Type that. And do this when I know everyone's typed. What I don't understand about Fawn is, in order to serve her, what should she know you don't understand about her? And give me a thumbs up once you typed. Ash, I'm just going to trust that you're there. Awesome. And I'll also help you, because the questions will get more interesting as you get in your own head, do I really want to say this or not? The most selfish thing you can do is, one, think that she can't handle it, and two, make it about you and not actually serve her. What I don't understand about Fawn is, and I was going to go, actually, I'll go with the first one. I think I may have said this directly to you. What I don't understand about you, Fawn, is why you don't step into your power more often.
Thank you.
Good. How are we? Are we typed in the chat? Are we good? No? Okay. Take your time. Just check in. And I'll give you guys some context, actually. This is how this came up, is I was on the phone with Fawn, and I said, we were talking about what's next for her. We were talking about just next level. And there's something around how can you get input to get to the next level or really raise your game or really go from there. And I may have suggested to help facilitate that exercise. Kim, you ready? All right, good. Press enter. See what we got. Great. Anyone else? Okay.
Matt, am I supposed to look at the chat or no? I have it off right
Yeah,
now.
You should read it. Yeah, you should okay. read it. Because we're not gonna go through it. I'm just gonna let them.
Okay.
Great. Okay. Awesome. What drives me nuts about Fawn is Give me a thumbs up when you got something in the chat and we can all press enter. You know what? I'm going to change this because I don't think it's serving you guys as much. I'm going to make you say it to her. I was doing the chat thing because I didn't know you and whatnot, but let's do it the real way. Kim, what drives me nuts about Fawn is?
When
serve her.
When you over explain and it's not necessary.
Thank you.
And when you say something, can you write it down? Just write it on a piece of paper or something. If you want to put it in chat, I guess that's writing it down too. But I want you to make sure you record this. Eliana. And if I'm not saying your name right, please correct me every time.
I'm sorry. Is it? Am I writing it in?
Kim, you're writing down.
Okay.
Yeah. Whatever you say, you're writing down for yourself. Yeah. Eliana. What drives me nuts about Fawn is?
She hasn't written a book yet.
Great.
Thank you.
Turkey.
Sometimes I want her to say almost like, give me the answer. And like in the highest service of coaching, she always says that you must seek within. But sometimes I almost want her to tell me to go for this or not go for this, you know.
Thank you.
Ashley.
What drives me nuts about Fawn is I think she's too nice sometimes.
Okay. Make sure you write down your answers, please.
Thank Beautiful. You.
Deep breath. Next one. What I wish Fawn did less of. What I wish Fawn did less of. Herky.
Oh. What?
And really feel into your body, gang. When you go into your head, just whatever's there, doesn't just let it come out in your body. What I wish Fawn did less of.
Well, sometimes the length of sessions, like the calls, 90 to 45.
What was the last part, Herky?
Like some of the group calls are too long for me.
Thank you.
Ashley, what I wish Fawn did less of?
What I wish Fawn did less of. What if it could it be what I wish she did more of?
Nope.
Okay.
That's a different question.
Yeah.
A more comfortable one for you.
Yeah, I guess kind of. What I wish Fawn did less of. I wish she did less taking time with the LFP stuff.
Thank you.
Kim?
I'm really having trouble with this one. I have to be honest. I'm having a lot of trouble with that.
Okay.
Because nothing came to me. Nothing came to
me. Okay. Eliana?
I'm honestly on the same boat. Nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll move on. Fawn, I'll go. What I wish you did less of was ask permission to ask a question. Can I ask you something? Or at times you tee it up. Diminishes your power. It diminishes your power. Which leads into the next question. That's probably why I said it. What diminishes Fawn's power most is? What diminishes Fawn's power most is? Kim, you're up.
Okay. Okay, I feel like if I answer now, I'm just reaching.
Great, go. Kim, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a really deep breath. And whatever on your out comes out of you, I want it to come out of you. Ready? Deep breath in. Go.
Bringing everybody along with her.
Thank you.
Because Kim, what I witnessed there was you were so in your head, you were looking up for your answers. It's not where your answers are. Yeah, and that means you're in your head. Your truth is in your body. So breathe. You'll find whatever's true for you. It doesn't have to be true for her. Okay. Eliana.
What diminishes Fawn's power is she plays small.
Thank you.
Herky.
Yep, same thing, to play small. She can go much. I always felt like she could go much bigger.
Thank you.
Ashley.
I don't mean to sound like a record, but that's when you first asked it. That's what came to mind is, yeah, feels like she's still playing small and questioning herself.
Thank you.
Ashley, I'm gonna invite you to say that to her in a way like you would say it to a client, like you actually gave a shit about her.
Okay. Fine. I think you're still playing too small and questioning yourself a bit too much. There's something still holding you back there. I think there's so much more that you can do.
Thank you.
That felt much more genuine to me versus the first time it felt like you were, you're playing small. And you're making this woman better. You're helping her get out of jail. Like, serve her.
Yeah.
Got
There's
that?
Nerves behind that, but yes. But
yeah, and you were making it about you, right? Your stuff and your stories was getting in the way, and that's what this is partly about. Absolutely. And again, absolutely no judgment or criticism around that. It's just awareness. I want you guys to become aware of your standing in the way of serving this person. Good. I want you to think about that person that was the most authentic and honest person in your life, person that you knew. And I want you to think about what they would say in this moment. What I hate about Fawn is, Ashley,
nothing is quite coming up. What I hate about Fawn is that maybe she needs to push me a little bit more as a coach.
Thank you.
Herky.
Why she brought you here?
Eliana.
Thank you.
Eliana.
I hate the word hate. okay, so it's still coming up for me. She's playing small. Her humbleness gets in the way.
Thank you.
Kim.
I guess the first thing that came to me is that the reason why I'm hesitating is because I'm not sure if I'm hating a thing, and you asked what do I hate, but I hate that her. Okay, so I can't say what I was going to say because I'm serving her. again, this is reaching for me, but I'll say it. I hate that she still wants to help the and I don't know how to put this, but I don't want to sound demeaning, but I hate that she doesn't, that she still wants to help I don't know how to put it, where I'm running into it, but I hate that she still wants to help, and I'm just going to say it so that I could get it out. I hate that she wants to continue to help the people beneath her when she could help a higher end of client. If
Thank
that,
you.
Yeah.
Awesome. Everyone take a deep breath. The most unique thing about Fawn is
Could you say it again?
The most unique thing about Fawn is Herky.
Hershey's good too. Her vibrancy, her optimism, her sense of serving has been with many different types of coaches. But I felt like she held the space for me like nobody else.
Thank you.
Ashley, the most unique thing about Fawn is?
Her generosity.
Thank you.
Aliana.
Her superpowers, her ability to bring all walks of life together. Thank you.
Kim.
Actually, two things came up for me, but how you can insert play into an environment, and also her willingness to share her own stretchiness to empower you to do the same.
Thank you.
The most beautiful thing about Fawn is Aliana.
Her light.
Ashley. Oh, sorry, Fawn. You should thank him.
Thank you.
Ashley.
Her vulnerability and inspiration.
Thank you.
Herky.
Kindness and generosity.
Thank you.
Kim.
Her energy and how she just gets people.
Thank you.
What I love about Fawn is, Kim.
Fawn.
Thank you.
Eliana.
She's like, it's effortless, and it's like talking to a best friend. Thank you.
Herky.
With energy.
Ashley. Oh, I keep brushing. Go ahead, Ashley.
It's her energy and her partnership.
Thank you.
Okay, last one. Take a deep breath. This one you're going to put in the chat. What you want Fawn to know more than anything? And I want you to write a full sentence, like you're writing an article. Fawn. What I want you to know more than anything is, and write it like that, please. When you're ready, put it in the chat. Fawn, what I want you to know more than anything is.
Put it in the chat?
Please. Please.
Thank you.
All right, deep breath. Fawn, how you doing?
Probably a peak experience.
Say more, and not to me. What to, for them? What does that mean?
It feels amazing to be at the stage in my life where I can fully hear and receive your honesty. Really hear and receive it. It's like, because we all know each other so well, it's like being in a room of mirrors that are like light at the same time. And it's really interesting to not take any of it personally. And it's like a curiosity after decades of being really insecure, not sure if I, you know, was ever going to make anything out of myself, having a lot of doubt, knowing that I was here to help people, but being at rock bottom and being in this moment and none of that feeling real anymore is amazing. Yeah.
How was, can you talk a little bit to, there was an arc there. There was an arc to more intense to filling you up.
The questions?
Yeah, to more intense to filling you up. Was the experience, was there an arc to your emotion, to your experience at all?
I felt more curiosity. Opportunity for curiosity, the questions that were more like constructive feedback oriented, where I like landed in them more deeply. As opposed to like, I don't know, my words aren't working.
Were they more valuable?
More insightful. I don't know about more valuable, but more insightful.
Okay. So what I heard her say was, did you notice how quickly and easily people answered when it was the love, the unique, the beautiful, people, it flowed. And so curious for everybody else, the stuff that you struggled to say, which was your stuff that was causing the struggle, she found most insightful. kudos to you for getting it out. I want to acknowledge that. You served her, and that was what was insightful. So she's saying that. I'm not. I'd like to know from any of you four, we don't have to go around to all four, just what was that like for you guys to say, to answer any of those questions? Any, floor's open.
I'll go. I enjoyed the beautiful part, but the beginning, like you said, like the arc, it was kind, it was very stretchy, like especially using the word hate. That's a word that I hate using, especially towards a human. Yeah.
So I almost said it in the moment, and I'm glad you brought it up again. Why'd you use it?
Yeah, I was just being a parrot. I should have stayed true to myself and not used the word. And just stay true and just be in alignment with what I stand for, and that's kindness. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I invited you to do an exercise. There's three other people doing them. I felt you when you said it, and I was curious if you would, so I didn't stop you. I said from the beginning, there's no teachers or students.
Yeah.
We're all on equals.
You're right.
And you violated you.
I did.
And if you get nothing else out of this exercise, you make your own choices. And the more powerful you can stand in those choices, the more powerful you'll be. I don't use the word hate. I use dislike. I use want to change. I use, okay. But I love that you discovered that. I love it. Perfect. Good for you. Good for you. Anybody else want to share what that was like?
For me, when it came to the loving things, it made me more emotional than the other ones. I could feel myself like gritting teeth for the other ones, the more difficult ones. And two, I guess, when I wanted to answer differently for the one about the hating one, I know for me that I thought that was something maybe that could make her better, but I guess I don't really, I guess I wanted in some of them to give more explanation rather than to just give the answer. I guess that's what I'll say about it.
The only reason I'm grinning, Kim, was it you? And I might get this wrong. Was it you that said one of the things you wish she did less was explain her answers?
Yeah, I know. And I do the same thing. Yes, you are right.
Okay. Is anyone else want to share what it was like for them, the experience?
I can. I just have some, I mean, it's hard, obviously, but in terms of, it's obviously what Kim was said. It's like much easier to say the nicer things, but I have some curiosity around myself in terms of why do I detach or hurry through some of the things that are harder to say? I mean, I think there's probably obvious things, but I think there's some exploration around, like you called me out on in terms of like say it more with more emotion. Like, why am I detaching there? I mean, yeah.
Why are you?
Probably because it's easier. I don't know. Or I'm not digging deep enough. I don't know.
Okay. And I'm not your coach, so I'm going to let you sit with it. But yeah, I love that it came up. Herky, do you want to say what that was like?
There's two parts to it. A part that is triggered, a part that is a rebel or doesn't want to just, is not agreeing with some of the way it's approached, and a part that is really appreciative of the essence behind it. So the way you approached it, I want to almost like rebel and fight with you. But what you're trying to do is so deeply meaningful and a missing component in my life. So I do hold space for like capturing the essence of what you're trying to do.
Great. Okay, so I've got one last part to this. I want you to look at the chat, and I want you to see what you, the last thing you wrote to Fawn and Eliana. You're going to go first. And I want you to read what you wrote to Fawn. Only instead of Fawn's name, I want you to put your name in there. And I want you to read it out loud, please, to the group.
Okay. Eliana, what I want you to know more than anything is the world needs your light. You woke me up.
Ashley.
Ashley, what I want you to know more than anything is that you're amazing. You have changed my life, and you're ready to play bigger.
Herky.
Herky, what I want you to know more than anything is you are powerful beyond measure. You're pure light.
Kim.
Kim, I want you to know more than anything that you've changed and challenged my life.
Good. What we teach, we most often have to learn, and what we project on others is really for ourselves. This exercise was about you guys. That was giving. It was about you guys. So I'm in deep gratitude for Kim, what's coming up? Don't do that. Don't shy away. We're safe. We love you. We adore you. You belong. You've got nothing to prove. I would love to know what's going on in your body right now, not in your head.
She does this in our groups often, but I have to say that this has been like the most impactful as far as uncomfortable and emotional experience and to get me out of my head. So thank you again for this experience.
You're welcome, and thank you for showing up. All I did was I opened a door. You walked through it. So don't diminish your power there. Good job showing up. This came as an idea to get Fawn to another level, because I also see the same thing. It's time for you to step into what you're capable of. And that's where this idea came from. You guys served her very powerfully. And I think you served yourself very powerfully. So thank you for showing up. I know it was edgy. I've done this. It's intense. And I'm really proud of you, and I appreciate you allowing me to step into your space. The space is sacred. This is a sacred family that Fawn created, and you allowed me to come in. And I'm grateful for that. So thank you. Fawn, Mm-hmm. Your show.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you so much. And thank you, ladies, so much for trusting me enough to be here. And I mean that in the most, like, macro, we've been together for 3 years ways, and, like, the most literal tonight's call way. And what came with the opportunity to do this activity was, of course, massive vulnerability. Matt and I chatted about, like, how, what can happen after these calls, right? People, like, this tendency to want to, like, are you okay? Is everything okay? And, you know, follow up, make sure, like, oh, I didn't mean it, or, you know, just try to make things better. And this tendency we might have to, like, the vulnerability hangover that Rich Lipton talks about. And I, knowing that some of you might not like this at all, some of you might actually find this to be really abrasive and incongruent with everything else that we've done, or with what you're trying to do, or maybe your values or the way that you communicate. And I knew that there was going to be discomfort, and I didn't know to what degree. And that was a huge vulnerable risk for me to take as your coach and sister. And I quite frankly didn't know exactly what was going to happen on this call. And I intuitively, after having discussed it with Matt, of course, intuitively felt safe somehow in us being in this space. And not just somehow, I mean, the discussion that Matt and I had had about it and the experience that it brought out of me helped me be willing to be edgy as a leader in bringing him into our space to do this. So I want to thank all of you for being exactly who you are, how you are, showing up tonight exactly with everything, the highs and the lows, the stretches, the question marks, the frustrations, the triggers, all of it. That means the world to me. So I want to share a little bit about how this came about quickly, and then we'll put Matt in the hot seat and learn what we can from him. So
did she just freeze?
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was me again. So.
Yeah, I thought we all froze. That was pretty funny. And I always, always, always turn to the universe and I'm like, what are you trying to prevent her from saying? Or what are you trying to kind of stop? It happens all the time. So it'll be curious. Actually, I have no idea what she's going to say. She dropped.
I'm back, I think.
That's vulnerability machine that is Zoom. Can you guys hear me? See me?
Okay. Yep.
Cool. Okay.
Yep.
I was having a moment about this, like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have this conversation with this potential client. Super out of my stretch zone, but exactly where I want to be headed. And we happened to have a mastermind call scheduled that day. And I was like, oh, I should reach out to Matt. He's always said, you know, reach out to me, if any of you, if you need support. I was like, oh, screw it. Maybe some off chance he has some time this morning to, like, just help me in some way. So he took the time for an hour to help me stretch into this space, get clarity, and it was massively helpful. And then he followed up with me, how did it go? Let's jump on another call. And so we did. And that was our kind of second person-to-person conversation. And then there was a third time. And I can't remember exactly why or what, but we hopped on a third call to talk about how I'm doing and my growth and all of that. And I had hidden away this skepticism, like, what is he trying to do here? Like, why is he being so willing to help me? Like, he's a really, really important coach, really, you know, like up to really big things, makes a big impact, works with big players. Why is he just offering to coach me for free or like support me without any strings attached? So I started to get a little bit like, you know, skeptical about the whole ordeal. But I didn't say anything about that at all. And we were on the last one-on-one call I think we had, or the second to last. And we were chatting about some kind of a follow-up. And I must have had some kind of an expression on my face or something, because I think, Matt, you were like, well, what was that? Or
I think I said, what are you not saying?
What are you not, yeah. And I was like, oh, nothing. And he essentially like pried it out of me, what is coming up for me. And I got it out. I was like, yeah, I don't really know like what you're up to here. Are you like, why are you serving me for free powerfully? Like what's, you know, because sometimes like with the Rich Litman intensive, for example, there are coaches who are like trying to like sign some of the coaches in the group. And so that's how this came about. And he asked a question that was really powerful. And that is, where else is this showing up in your life? Where else are you holding back? Where else are you not telling the truth or speaking your truth? And I was like, oh, fuck. So, and so at some point the idea for like to bring it into this group came up, and it's like such a perfect dovetail into like my growth edge, receiving feedback. But there following that moment, there have been opportunities in my life that came up really a lot quicker than I expected for me to be honest or just stay silent. And when I stepped through, when I was on it, and one of the situations was with a client. The other situation was with a family member. So like really high flame dynamics. And both times it felt so good to be honest and so good to speak to the thing that I was feeling inside of myself. So yeah, I just wanted to give some context and let you ladies know. Oh yeah. And so then, the last part. That's right. You asked me, Matt, to tell you, like, how do I really feel about you? Or something like that. Like, how do I?
I think I said, tell me, like, the most uncomfortable thing you can tell me right now, or something like that. Yeah. Like, I wanted to really push you into that place of not wanting to go.
Right. Yeah. And I was like, it came up right away. And I was like, oh, I don't know. It was, like, right there. So when I first got to the small group at the intensive on Zoom, and I'm like, we get into the group and Matt starts talking and it's evident that he's the facilitator, I was like, oh god, like another jockey corporate executive coach motherfucker who like thinks he knows what he's talking about. I don't think I'm gonna learn anything in this. Like, I went into judgy Susan 5000ville just based on appearance, based on the fact that he was a soccer player, like all of this, like this disdain for jocks. And I didn't even realize it really until we had this conversation. But yeah, so that was like a part of my first couple of experiences in the group. And then it definitely shifted after, you know, we get to know each other better. But yeah, I was judging harshly in those first couple of calls. And he asked me, why didn't you, you know, say anything, or what would it be like if you did say something? And I had to check in with that. Like, is it something relevant? Was it keeping me from having the fullest experience I could have in that group? Was my judgment of Jock, Matt, the coach, keeping me from fully showing up or fully receiving? Maybe. I don't know if speaking to it would have served my experience or my growth necessarily, but acknowledging it probably would have. So yeah. So there's some context for you ladies.
It's fascinating. I'll just say, yeah, really quick, it's fascinating. She used a couple words, executive coach. I don't coach executives. I coach entrepreneurs. They own their own business. I don't go into corporate. I don't coach coaches. She was afraid that I was trying to enroll her to like be a client. I don't coach coaches. None of my clients are coaches. And there is some data out there that our ability to be right about other people, their intention, what they're about, they did some study and it's like 2%. It's like we're really bad at knowing what people are thinking or stuff like that. Yet we think we're really good at it and keep trying to do it, but we're really bad. So it's hysterical to me that she had these two really big things that were preventing her from showing up that couldn't be further from truth. So.
Yeah. And it was so hard for me to ask you, like, why are you doing, like, why are you helping me? Just that simple question, like, why are you helping me? Because it was so loaded. I had so much, like, insecurity around it. Yep. So that's how we got here. We'll just open the floor. We have a few more minutes left. Matt, are you okay with hot being
Yeah,
hot seat?
Whatever. Whatever I can answer, serve you guys, whatever you need.
Awesome. Thanks. Ladies, do you have any questions for Matt? Anything that would serve him or you in saying, asking, bringing to the table? Herky.
Does this have to be coaching related or anything related? Can it be business related questions? When you're trying to release something, let's say you're trying to release a course, for example, out in the world, and you know you work through your doubt, your this and that, but still it keeps pulling you back, and you go into fear mode again. What is the best way to overcome what you want to do? When you're doing it in the spirit of service, as well as, you know, for what you chose this, you know, profession or whatever, coaching. But still, when you get stuck or frozen or in doubt, what is your advice?
Are you asking what my process is, or are you asking for my support in your process?
Probably your support in my process, or either way.
What are you afraid? What are you afraid is going to happen? What are you afraid of?
Nobody will want to enroll.
Okay. What if that happens?
My idea was of leaving corporate and starting this was a stupid idea.
So if nobody enrolls, you're going to believe that this was a stupid idea?
I was dreaming. The reality is different from what we dream of.
So if nobody enrolls, you're going to believe that your reality is different than your dream. Okay. What if that happens?
I lose trust in my judgment.
Okay. I got it. If there was one thing that held your judgment in the balance, get it. But is that really true? Is there really one thing that would make you lose complete trust in your own judgment?
No. not absolutely true, but it was a big one, very big one.
Sure. How could it serve you if nobody enrolled?
Business side, it could serve me in feedback.
Okay.
Personally, I want to believe it's a life experience, but I keep on thinking that to make such massive, big decisions, I should have given it more thought before quitting my job.
Okay. How often do you roll everything, put everything into one basket and roll it all up into this one moment? Is that a common trait of yours?
When it's something involving me as a single mom providing for my family, and anything that involves my children.
Finish that. Then you put it all on the line for one thing.
Decision related to that becomes a big decision for me.
Okay. But I'm just curious if you created this course, how long did it take you to create it?
It's still in process, but yes, a lot of physical, mental energy and space in doing that.
With sure.
Passion. Yeah.
Sure. So what I would say to you is, what if the creating part, what if you could create multiple things so that it wasn't all wrapped up into one? It's kind of like you're playing baseball and you're like, I get one pitch and I have to hit a home run.
Yeah.
I feel that pressure. What if you got more than one pitch?
Yes. So in terms of, I have the other thing, which is regular coaching.
Okay.
But I often have a very hard time in talking to people and telling them about the fear of sounding salesy and pushy.
Sorry, help me get caught up here. You coach one-on-one, but you struggle with that because you don't want to sound salesy?
In what we are taught in terms of prospecting and trying to reach people and trying to tell people, I almost never do that in terms of, hey, I'm a life coach and would you like to? I always don't go the next step wherein would you, you know, in bringing in somebody in for a consult.
So what I'm sensing is that this isn't about you not having the guts to release your course. It's more about that you're focusing all your energy on the course versus actually having a couple irons in the fire for how to get paid as a coach and really exploring all those. It sounds like enrolling clients one-on-one is uncomfortable for you for a couple different reasons. And so you're like, oh, I'll just do a course. But you're putting all your eggs in that basket, whereas I would say have a couple different ways in the world that you can serve people and get paid for it. And work on, look at all those things that are holding you back. Because enrolling a client one-on-one is actually no different than enrolling someone to buy your course, as well as enrolling a group. As well as enrolling somebody to go to the movies with you. It's actually all the same process. And so I would say focus on what's standing in the way of you creating clients or enrolling them, that they'll get some value out of this, and then do it in a couple different ways. Because your course, your life doesn't hang in the balance of the course. Your life hangs in the balance of you learning how to, and your coaching life not your real life, your coaching career hangs in the balance of you getting over the enrollment challenge, not being able to launch a course. Mm-hmm. Does that land at all? And I'd reach out to the wonderful people here. I'd reach out to Fawn with what, once you've done some exploring, what's really standing in the way of you enrolling people?
Can I add something to that? I want to add something to that. I would invite you, Herky, to think about any connection points between tonight's call theme and this resistance to enrolling people.
Tell me more. Tonight's call. Mm-hmm.
Holding service, powerful service above all else. Versus it being about you.
Right. Yeah.
There's a famous quote. It says, if you're stuck, stop making it about you. And so if you asked me how I do it, that's what I would say is I got to get out of my – I realize that, all right, this is about my pride, my ego, my. Okay, what if it wasn't? So that's how I get through it. But I don't really think your issue is the course. I think it's something around stepping into how great you are, what you have to offer the world. And if whoever you're in front of isn't buying it, all it means is that they're not your people. It doesn't mean that you're not a good coach. You're just not in front of the right people.
Yep. And I've heard this before, but it was so good to get that reassurance. Because in terms of serving, I did a lot of pro bono, a lot of other coaching, and I felt like I wasn't authentic when I could have said no. I still didn't. Sometimes it was the inability to say no, but a lot of the time it was just the heart to serve another. And sometimes, yes, now I'm making it definitely about me in terms of the course. And at the same time, it is also not believing in myself, and that's why when the exercise you were doing, I was like, I'm working so hard to not let the outside voices tell me who and how I am, so I'm not going to listen to Matt, whatever he's saying, or to anybody else, because I have been working very hard to undo what all has been done in my life journey. So
I'm going to give you an exercise that I gave a client about 2 weeks ago, and she says it changed her life. Something interesting. Herky, it might be interesting for you. And I'm going to butcher the name. You guys may be familiar with it. There's a Hawaiian prayer. I think it's called
Ho'oponopono, that one.
Beautiful. But here's what I want you to do. So you understand the concept. Do you know the prayer?
I've read it many times, but I don't know now.
Okay. It's got four sentences. This is for everybody, but I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. I think I actually mix those up. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I think that's it. And I told my client that I wanted her to do it. She had an abusive childhood, and it's really shedding some stuff and recreating yourself, to do it in the mirror for 10 minutes every day. And I'd be curious, Herky, what you would do if you looked at yourself for 10 minutes and you say the prayer over and over. So you're looking in the mirror. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. Do it for 10 minutes in the mirror and see where it goes. What else can I answer?
Matt, do you want to be our guest speaker for the self-compassion call tomorrow night?
You can steal that exercise. It's not, I mean, I'm sure you will do just fine.
Anyone else? Questions? Thoughts? Feedback? Matt, would you be willing to share a little bit about your experience doing this exercise that you led us through tonight, where you've been in the hot seat or you've been the person giving the feedback? And we're at time, so anyone that needs to hop off, please do feel free to do so. And I'm going to send a follow-up email in the next couple of days.
Sure. Sweating is all I remember. Like, pits. Like, so... my coach had been challenging me for a while to be more of a dick. I'm a nice guy. I'm a good guy. I stand for love. I stand for really, like, majority of people know me that I'm on the good side. And she kept on saying, look, the most interesting thing about Superman is that he's Clark Kent, and I want to see your edge. And lean into that real truth and really let go of what people think. I want to see you as a dick, if that's what it takes. I want to see you at your edges. I've seen you at the love. Now I want to see you as the motherfucker. And she kept on saying it in different ways and challenged me in different ways. And this went on for a while. And then she got two of my close counterparts together, and they fried me, and they made me say to them, these people I adore, respect, hold up here, they made me start with the I hate question and just go like, yeah, over and over, tell me something. And we stayed on the same question. Tell me something you hate that I do. Tell me something you can't stand. And it eviscerated me, gutted me. And then it made us all closer. And after that experience, they had to fill me up. Like they actually, because I was like really, it was really tough. And then they filled me up. And it changed my world. It freed me in a way that I could never have even suggested, like, or even thought of. And those people, we have this incredible truth bond and trust that is gorgeous, and nothing affects us. And it's really, really cool. And from that moment on, I was like, oh, okay. I would never have walked into that by my own doing, but thank gosh somebody did walk me into that room. So.
What was the biggest lesson that you took from that?
That all that stuff was about me, like that I was, when I was judging what they can handle or not, that was me. That was one, selfish, two, completely inaccurate. Because when I thought that I was like just putting a sword through their heart, they were like shrugging off. They're like, wow, that's you being a dick? They're like, my mom says that to me, right? Like they it wasn't even, or I would say something, I'm like, oh, there's this gonna really hurt them. And they're like, oh, I dealt with that like a long time ago. I'm good. And so it really opened me up that, wow, this really is all my stuff. Mm. And then when I did hit a chord, because we talked about it, oh, they're grateful that I hit the chord. They're not mad at me because they're working on that. They're like, yeah, I know that's a trigger for me. And I've been working through that with my coach or something. And I'm like, oh, you don't hate me for it? So it completely changed my level of service, but then really kind of owning that, huh, this is really, I'm standing in my own way. And it changed who I am as a human being and as a coach. And I learned that I could be honest and still love. I thought that there was a choice, but I realized that they're actually the same. Honest is love, and I don't have to be mean when I'm truthful. So whatever that adds up to.
It's powerful. Thank you for sharing.
Of course.
Experience of that. Yeah.
Of course.
Whew. All right. Let's do a quick round robin of takeaways for Matt, pointed toward Matt. So it can be a gratitude. It can be something you learned from tonight, something that stretched you tonight, something that you experience tonight that might be new for you as a result of Matt being our facilitator and coach this evening. Anything that you would like for him to know that you are taking away and walking away with from tonight's call? I will start with Ashley.
First, thank you. This was incredibly helpful. I'm still digesting some of it, and I know I'm taking notes and stuff on things that are popping up for me. But I think my takeaway is that I still have some work to do. I thought I was done with focusing too much on myself still, but I think I'm still focusing too much on myself in order to more powerfully serve my clients. And so there's still some attention on myself, and I thought I'd worked through it. Obviously, it's always a process, but yeah. So thank you.
You're welcome. And I want to second that. It is always a process. So please don't beat yourself up about that. Mm. I will tell you that what's been on my mind for 2021, I like to make a year commitment to strengthening a muscle. And the main muscle that I'm probably going to strengthen is really my intuition and my ability to really feel that inner voice and become a hollow bone to take in source energy and take in spirit guides and really kind of allow things to come through me versus from me. And so that is just constant work on yourself. It never ends. So please don't kick your butt. Oh, I'm not there yet. No, but that's the whole journey.
Right.
So embrace it, not don't judge it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Aliana, takeaway, feedback?
Thank you for this experience. This was, honestly, at first I was like, what the fuck? And so, you know, but I was just kept telling myself, trust the process. And this was so valuable. So thank you.
You're welcome. And I honor.
Particular. Oh, good. Good.
I honor how open you were, and that's going to happen where 90% of what somebody says you can't align with. But if there's one thing that you're only going to catch because you're open to it, then you're golden. So thank you for being open.
Anything in particular, Ariana, that was valuable off the top of your head?
Honestly, just getting out of like my comfort zone, which is, you know, just being kind and having a filter and, you know, everything is daisies and just keeping it real. So I really enjoyed that.
Kim, how about you?
It was definitely, for me, an emotional roller coaster because it took me a minute to kind of open up and then, I don't know, just, but I think the thing that stuck with me, for one, is just you being very direct about saying, asking me, so am I a liar? That stuck with me. A lot in that, am I trying to be nice or am I trying to be, you know, do I want to be nice or do I want to be a coach? So that stuck out the whole time.
Good. And as you started talking, you said, you know, as I warmed up and this and that, and the first thing that came to me was, what if you didn't have to warm up? What if you just did a cannonball right into the deep end and you went there? And that may not be your style. That's my style, right? Like, it's like my thing. It's the only place that it interests me. Like, I can't stand surface conversations with even with friends. So what if you didn't have to warm up? The first thing, I'm doing some work with a marketing agency and there's about 8 people around the round table and they started to introduce themselves and tell me their whole resume. I've done this, I've done that. I actually stopped them after the first person. I said, I can read all that on LinkedIn. I want you to tell me what makes you cry and what lights you up. That's it. That's the only thing I care about. I care where you worked or anything. And some people are turned off by that, but that's what interests me. And that's really what, and I think we go to a different place when we start talking about that stuff versus titles. So what if you have to warm up?
How do you, am I allowed to ask a question at this point? Sorry. But how do you do that in a group? And I guess that was my question too for you, is that how do you do that with people that you don't know? Like, you just come in and you just go for it. I guess that doesn't compute for me.
No, totally. You commit to truth above all else. You commit to truth. And I know this.
What do you do? I'm sorry, go ahead.
I know the specific moment that I kind of shifted. There's a book called The Illusion of Money by Kyle Cease. I don't know if it's in the book or I heard him talking about it. But he was talking about how if you walk into an elevator and someone attractive is there, and it's just you and that attractive person, and most of us, and I've done this, will sit there and be like, oh my gosh, like, I totally want to say something to this woman. What do I say? And totally come out with something stupid like, is it supposed to snow? Or what, do you know what time it is? Or something totally stupid and bullshit. And this guy, Kyle, said, what if you were just honest and you said, I'm sitting here really uncomfortable trying to figure out what to say to you. And that's what you said. And this light went off and this shift. And I was like, oh, that would be honest. And he said, he's like, to the woman, my guess is that would actually be a hell of a lot more interesting than some bullshit thing you made up. And she might walk out. She might start a conversation, who knows, but at least you start, at least you're with the truth. versus, oh, did I play my cards right? What if you didn't play cards? What if you commit to the truth? And there wasn't a, I'm going to take this step, and as long as that goes well, this step. Because at the end of the day, I'm not trying to date you. I'm trying to serve you. And there's no warm-up in serving. So I commit to the truth. And because as what I learned was that if I'm not giving them an experience and a conversation that they can't have anywhere else, they won't hire me. And the higher level people you work with, they don't have a bandwidth. They're not going to stay in the conversation for foreplay for a while. They don't have the time. So you got to jump in, and within the first couple sentences, they need to know that they can't get this anywhere else. And that's kind of what really allows me to get there. Does that land? Does that make sense?
Yes. And I know that you did this within the group, in Fawn's group. But would you do this in a group of people who don't know each other? Are you talking about one-on-one?
When you say this, what do you mean by this?
Oh, the same honesty, the, you know, getting right to it, honoring the truth with a group of people maybe who aren't as connected as we are.
It's the only way I play.
Okay.
And the way I do it, and Fawn has witnessed it, if I'm missing something, let me know, is I create agreements, which immediately in my mind tell people how we're going to play in this container. And once the commitments are made, I'm going to live up to those commitments. And that may have been a first for some of you guys, but where you guys were getting tripped up was where you were worried about other people's feelings. You were actually breaking the agreements that you made at the beginning. But if you really agreed to them and play that way, then it might have been easier. So that's how I do it in groups. I create agreements and then gloves are off. Like, we're going to play to that. Yeah, it's the only way. Foreplay and coaching doesn't work. In my mind, doesn't have to be true for you. Does that make sense? Did I answer your question?
You good, Kim? Does that answer your question? Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry, yes. I was on mute again, sorry.
You're good. Hey, do me a favor. Just play with it. My observation. Really pay attention to what comes out of your mouth. Don't apologize if you're not sorry. If you are, great. Don't ask permission if you're not looking for it. You started your question to me with, can I ask another question? What do you do with, and you would be so much more powerful if, what do you go right into your question. And if you're not sorry, don't be sorry. If you are, please say it. But they're ways of you leaking power. Own it. Own it. You are so powerful. We just give it away.
Fawn has told me that before.
And play Kim for a day. Just pay attention to it for a day and see how it feels with your daughter or son. Sorry, I'm forgetting. Your 18-year-old. Don't ask permission. Don't apologize for shit. And whatever comes out of your mouth is the truth.
Well, yeah, Camille.
Don't blame me.
Hercules, takeaway, question, feedback.
Hercules. You can tell me the nickname before.
That sounds delicious. Yeah, so I guess I was checking on myself how I was so judgy of you initially, and also with the gender part, just based on my past experiences, I entered judgment, and the more your questions came, the more I wanted to. I was questioning, should I stay in my truth, or I don't want to say yes to this guy just because he's leading us through this. It does not seem right to me at this time. And then I slowly, my nervous system was, you know, started becoming calm, and I could see your truth, your essence, and your soul. And that just made me very relaxed and safe to be with you, and to, I deeply enjoyed the exercise towards the end, and I think I will be willing next time if I have to.
Let me ask, when you, the thing when I said, do you want to participate, and you were like 50-50, and then you owned that you didn't want to, and you didn't. Is that when it shifted?
I felt very proud that I did say that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, with each passing question, it slowed down. I went into this massively trigger, and I ended up saying it too when you asked me that question, what do I hate about Fawn was. And I would never say that to anybody like that, the way I said it to you. But that was what was coming, and I was like, I'm going to just say it. And every time I spoke my truth, it felt I started relaxing more and more towards you. You know.
Yeah. Okay, great, great. You guys are in control. Always. Always. And, you know, I use the word hate. You had two choices. I don't use that word. I want to use that and explore why that bothers me so much. But both of them are your choice. If you make it my choice, you're victimizing yourself. You're giving all your power away. And the most powerful thing you do with your clients is make them conscious about the choices they make. No judgment. No judgment at all. Which is conscious. I'm making this choice and I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm not doing it because you told me. So good for you. Good for you for staying with it. Good for you for exploring. Good for you for kind of stay here, not sure what I feel. Stuff opened up. It's awesome. I acknowledge you and honor you for that.
Really powerful experience feeling Herky go through that. Like my empathy antennas were like,
and for Kim and for everybody, if I was running this group, I would have went at Herky. I would have called her out. Herky, you look bored. You look disengaged. I mean, I noticed it when she was sitting back in the chair and kind of, right? And I would go there, not like, what the fuck? Rather, what's going on? Why is it, what's coming up? Why is it coming up? And kind of going there. And maybe she would bring up the male thing. Awesome. There are 100% males that are the devil. Totally. Can you be open to the fact that there's some males that aren't? And how is your generalization of males affecting you? I don't care what you think of me. But how is you lumping in? There's only one way people with a penis are affecting you. That's all that the question is. And let's explore that. I'll support you in exploring that. Let's do it. So if Kim, 100%, that's where you want to go, because that would serve her. And that's not what people in the rest of her life are saying it, or it would be dealt with. So that's how she would say, I'm getting something out of this group that I don't get anywhere else. Truth, honesty, invitation to explore things that I really don't like or want to. So. Cool. And this is just my way. It doesn't have to be yours.
Thank you. That was great. Expansion.
Totally. Totally.
My takeaway and feedback, Matt, is that it feels really good to be wrong about my judgment of you. The person I had you out to be in my head versus this human spirit that is here with my group. Like, if you would have told me this on the first meeting at the RLI, I would have been like, you got the wrong situation. So grateful for you and your leadership and your honesty and your integrity in modeling this for us. It's like, honestly means the world. Big deal.
Absolutely. And I will, I don't even remember if you ever said, if I ever answered you, why spend so much time with me? I think I did, but I don't remember. But I'll just reiterate for the group. When people ask that, it's more, I'm like, well, because it feels good. Why not? Like, I'm curious about you and why you're not stepping into your power. And when you brought to me that client that you were exploring working with, that was a really exciting conversation. We were like dreaming and creating and something that you'd never done before. And that's where I love to play, is breaking boundaries of where people are. So it was just super interesting for me. And I had the time, I had the energy, and I was like, great. I mean, that's it. There wasn't a strategy on anything else more that it energized me. So, it doesn't have to be this whole long explanation. If it feels good, you guys can follow it. So this has been an honor. It's been super fun. I adore you, and now I adore your community. So keep doing what you guys are doing. Thanks for letting me play. Seriously, I really, really am respectful of what you, this is a sacred group, and I honor that. So thank you for being open.
Hell yeah. What's your takeaway? And then we'll wrap it out.
My takeaway is that when really powerful people show up into the unknown, you can create things that you can't even imagine. I had no idea how this was going to go. No idea. I've done it before, but you're a different group. You're different, yada, yada. And I'm just a reminder that it's super fun when you challenge powerful people to play in the unknown. It's just super fun. It's what I love. And I was just reminded of that again. So thanks.
Awesome. Thanks for bringing us into the unknown and playing with us.
All right, guys.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you so, so, so much, all of you.
Much love.
Love you so much. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right, everybody shake it off. I'm gonna do my workout now.
Bye, guys.
Thank you so much. Have a good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Happy holidays.
Yeah. Bye.